Welcome to Living Waters Church podcast. You're now listening to another life-changing message from Pastor Tony Williams.
If you have your Bibles, come with me to the book of Luke, chapter 11. And we're going to read the first 13 verses. And it says, "Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples.' So he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.' And he said to them, 'Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, "Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs." Verse 9, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask of him?" Thank you, Lord, for your presence this morning. Thank you for your abiding grace, your mercy, your long-suffering, your goodness, your kindness, and your faithfulness towards us. We are here because of you. We are here simply because you have ordained for us to be here. And Lord, we have chosen to come into your presence. Lord, perhaps we may have come into your presence this morning as one deserving of a king, and giving you the welcome, giving you the honor, giving you the attention, and giving you the time that you deserve, because you are king, you are royalty, you are the God of all creation. Lord, perhaps we have done this, or perhaps we haven't. Either way, Lord, we ask you for mercy. We ask you, O Lord, even as we sit now in your presence and we sit under your word, we will do so recognizing your lordship. We will do so recognizing that you alone are worthy to be listened to. For he who has ears to hear, let him hear what my spirit says. So, Lord, can you help us today to cut out all of the chaos and all of the commotion and all the confusion and all the things that the world will offer us? Help us be relieved of those things so that we can hear your still, small voice. And now I humble myself before you, and I humble my heart, and I simply say, Lord, that apart from your grace, I am nothing. I am absolutely nothing apart from your grace, God. So I humble myself before you, and I say, use me for your glory. Use this heart, use this mind, use my intellect, my understanding, use my ability to communicate. Use this vessel for your glory, Lord, that I am simply your vessel. I am nothing more, and I choose to be nothing less. I am just your vessel. So Holy Spirit, come, infuse, abide, endow this vessel with your presence and with your power. Because God, if you don't do it, it's not going to happen. If you don't come in your fullness, in your power, then I will just be a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. But I thank you that you are going to do it because you are here. And I give you all the praise in advance in Jesus' name. The title of my message this morning is The Power of Persistent Prayer. The Power of Persistent Prayer. It's a two-part teaching that I'm bringing to you over the next week or so, this week and next week. And, you know, we give God praise. Thank you, Ross, for sharing your testimony. We want to say to you and remind you again that we are praying for the sick at every single prayer service now. The Lord has laid on our hearts to pray for anyone who needs prayer. We pray and we anoint with oil. And something wonderful is happening. I can tell you that every single week we've had testimonies of healing. We have had testimonies. We haven't made a big song and dance about it because the Lord has not permitted us to do so. But Roz broke protocol, shared her testimony. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And rightfully so. Rightfully so, because, you know, that's what the Lord does. So I want to encourage you, whatever your need is, come. Don't just come at the end for prayer. And, you know, come for prayer service and be infused by the presence and the power of God. And you will truly be blessed. He's a miracle-working God. God wants his people to be persistent in prayer. Now, there are many in the body of Christ, even now, who have given up. I love Clay's T-shirt. We were praying for our children, and Clayton had it on his T-shirt, "Don't give up." I like that very much. That was wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. Good confirmation that I'm on the right track. I said, thank you, Lord. I can preach now. Praise the Lord. Don't give up. But you see, many give up. Believing for things, you surrender the rights to the enemy, believing that the things that you know you're trusting God for will not come to pass. But I want to tell you this morning, don't give up. Don't give up. Many give up because they believe that their request has been denied. And as a result, they give up asking. And I really believe that the reason why so many fall short of receiving their answer to prayer, receiving their breakthrough, receiving their miracle, is because there are many who have not yet fully understood or applied the kingdom principle of persistent prayer. Next week, we are going to be looking at the principle even deeper, and we will be sharing, I'll be sharing with you five of these principles. If we are to prevail through prayer, we must persist in prayer. If you want to prevail through prayer, you got to persist in prayer. Amen. Pastor Michael Katz said this, a powerful prayer is one that does not let go. It does not quit. It is profitable and it is powerful because it is persistent. Persistence in prayer is learning to wait on the Lord. The Bible says that those who wait on the Lord shall indeed renew their strength. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But what do we do while we wait? What do we do with the tension, the frustration of the unknown? What do we do with the frustration of the proposed delay that comes from God? I will tell you what we do. Two things that we need to do. The first thing really is that we don't stop praying. We don't stop praying. We keep on praying and we carry on praying regardless. Someone would say, well, you know, should I stop praying? Because if I'm not seeing any change, if nothing is happening, then what's the point of praying? The answer to that question is dependent on two things. First and foremost, if you're taking notes, it's dependent on how long it takes for God to respond to you while you're waiting. Because sometimes God is silent on purpose. He doesn't work on our time frame. God is silent because he's working something out. And we need to be a people who simply trust in the silence of God. It also depends on the instruction that God gives to you when he eventually responds. I don't know about you, I'm sure many of you have heard it said before, that if you pray and you're asking God for something and you keep on praying, it means that you are lacking in faith. Has anyone heard that? Well, I profoundly disagree with that. Completely. So you've heard it here first. I don't agree with that idea. If we pray and we make a request to God, and then we receive an instruction from the Lord, either through his written word or his logos word, or through the revealed word, which is his rhema, or maybe you've received a prophetic word of confirmation, or you have received some kind of word of knowledge. Ultimately, maybe the Holy Spirit has spoken to you and given you a witness in your heart, in your spirit, concerning what you are praying and asking God for. If you have received that, then by all means, start praying, because you have your answer. It may not have manifested itself in the physical, but you have received it in the spirit. What you then do is give God thanks. Regardless of whether or not it's manifested physically, that's irrelevant. Before anything became physical, it was spiritual. And God spoke the world into being, the world already existed in the spirit realm, in him. He spoke out and declared that which already was. That's faith. Faith is pulling into the physical that which exists already in the spirit. You can't see it. You can't hear it. You don't know anything about it, and that's why it's faith. It is inbirthed by the person and the power and the instruction and the influence of the Holy Spirit. He is the one who causes his word to come alive in you. And that's why faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if God has spoken, then by faith receive what he has spoken and give him thanks. God has spoken already concerning your health, your peace of mind, the wholeness of your heart. He's spoken already concerning your healthy marriage, concerning your healthy relationships, peace and harmony in your home. God has already spoken about that. What he needs us to do is give him thanks. What we don't do is give thanks. We don't give thanks, and then we don't see the manifestation of what God has already done, and then we wag our fists at him and say, God, why don't you hear? Why don't you answer? Why don't you respond? I'm giving up. I'm throwing in the towel. I've had enough. You've let me down. But we haven't thanked him for what he's done. And we see how the enemy robs us. Can you see that, church? If God has spoken, give him thanks. I don't want to talk about Thanksgiving this morning because, you know, I'll go off track. But we need to be more of a thankful people and less of a complaining people. It's as simple as that, really. Because Thanksgiving is one of the currencies of heaven. Complaining is a virus. It's foreign to the kingdom of God. It is. Regardless of how it makes you feel, because sometimes we complain, we feel better. But regardless of how, you know, it's a placebo effect. In fact, it's the opposite of the negative to placebo. You might think it's making you feel better, but in actual fact, it will guarantee to make you feel worse. When, if God has spoken, receive it by faith, stop praying. If we continue to pray after God has spoken, then this is a demonstration of a lack of faith. But if God has not responded, if you haven't received such a witness in your spirit, then keep on praying. No matter what, be persistent in prayer. A believer can be persistent in prayer and yet display great faith. In fact, the reason why we are being persistent is because we choose to believe that God is who he says he is and that he will do what he says he will do. Let's take a look at the scripture that we've just read. Luke 11:5-8. We'll just look at verse 5-8. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give to him as many as he needs. We need to bear in mind that verse 5 to 8, 5, 6, 7, and 8 have to be read in context with verse 1 and 2. The whole premise of what Jesus was teaching in verse 5, 6, 7, and 8 was based on the question that the disciples, or the request that the disciples made. Teach us how to pray, as John taught his disciples how to pray. So even though he's using this this man and his request for 3 loaves of bread as an illustration, he is using it as an illustration of how we are to be a persistent people, but particularly persistent in prayer. How many times have you found yourself faced with a problem that only God can solve? Many times, I reckon. Now, this was the case with the man in Jesus' illustration. He approaches one friend who had what he needed on behalf of another friend who was in need. Therefore, this man that Jesus is describing is essentially one who intercedes on behalf of another. Are you mindful of the needs around you? Not just your needs, but are you mindful of the needs around you? Do you know that God has given you the ability to successfully intercede on behalf of others? Because he has. If you don't know, you need to know today that he has. God has given you the ability and the rights to intercede for your spouse, for your children, for your family, your whole household. He has given you the ability, he has given you the authority, he has given you the privilege of interceding for your church, for your local church, if you're not part of LWC, for your local church, wherever you worship, for your town, for your city, for the region or district that you're part of. God has given you the ability to intercede for your nation, for our nation, or if you're not from the United Kingdom, whatever nation you're from. You know, with all that is going on right now in our nation, all that's going on right now in our world, all that is happening against Christianity and all the persecution that Christians are facing, which is increasing on a daily basis, God has given every one of us the supernatural ability to intercede on earth in order for change to actually take place. But this is the deception of the enemy. He will make you feel so small, so worthless, so insignificant. He will lie to you that you can't pray, and even if you do pray, nothing is going to happen. Nothing is going to change. He will deceive you into believing that, you know, no matter, and even for those of you who are seasoned in prayer, don't lie to yourself and don't kid yourself, because God knows your heart. He knows your struggles. And the minute you acknowledge that, God, I am so weak, I am so incapable of doing what you've called me to do without your help, that's when help comes. That's why I said last week, and I'm first in line. Put your experience, put your knowledge, put everything that you've learned, all of those things, just put it to one side. They may serve you, but they will only take you so far. God needs to give you a fresh revelation concerning what he is calling you to do now. You cannot rely on yesterday's manna. You can't do that. You need to be ready. You need to be engaged. Our world, our nation needs a move of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. Western Europe needs a miracle outpouring of God's love, of God's mercy, of God's power. The world needs to be shaken again by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the people that God has called to partner with him in order for this to take place are those of us who are alive today, those of us who make up the body of Christ. The ministry of intercessory prayer is one of the highest callings, if not the highest calling, for the believer. Why? Because it is the ministry that Jesus, our great high priest, is engaged in continuously for you and for me. It is what he is doing right now. Hebrews 7:25. He ever lives to make intercession for you and for me. It is what he is doing. It is the vocation that he is engaged in right now. Prayer, intercession. He is our advocate. And he has called us to partner with him in this responsibility. Hence the reason why we are called to be a royal priesthood. 1 Peter 2:9. Just think about this. You have been called, you have been commissioned, you have been anointed, you have been consecrated, set apart by God to be a royal priest. A royal priest according to the order of the King of Judah himself. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the King of Israel. And he is engaged in the activity of intercession because he is the high priest. And now he has called you and I to come alongside him as a royal priesthood to do exactly that. The number one responsibility of the priesthood was to offer up sacrifices. In this case, we are offering spiritual sacrifices. And the spiritual sacrifices that we are offering isn't first and foremost worship or praise. Those things are on the periphery. Believe it or not, the primary thing that we are offering to God is prayer and intercession. That's the reason why the altar of burnt offering was in the outer courts. That's the reason why the brazen altar for the washing and the purification were in the outer courts. And that's the reason why the altar of incense, which represents prayer, was in the holy place, right before the curtain of separation. Once a year, we read this in Hebrews, once a year, this altar of incense would be brought into the holiest of all. And the incense, the smoke that will rise up from this altar of incense will mingle with the glory, with the Shekinah glory of God. And in this moment alone, the high priest will make atonement for the sins of a nation. Now, because of Jesus, because of what he has done, every one of us can boldly approach the eternal throne of grace, past the outer courts, through the holy place, into the holiest of all. Not once a year, every single moment of every single hour of every single day. And the prayer that comes from you, that rises up as incense, is continually mingled with the Shekinah glory of our eternal God and everlasting Father. And in that moment of prayer and intercession, heaven is moving, heaven is working it out, and earth is about to be the recipient of God's favor and God's grace. Now, this being the case, what happens when we don't pray? Only God knows. This man had a friend who was on his journey. Just examining the text, he was on his journey. They are people that God will send to you because he knows that while they are transitioning from one place to another in their walk with him, they will need someone in their lives who will be able to bless, refresh, and encourage them along the way. That's why this man in the illustration needed to set something before his friend. In this case, it was bread. Bread represents the blessing and the favor of God. Bread symbolizes the presence of hope, of rest, and encouragement. Bread, therefore, represents the presence of God. And Jesus is the true bread of life. Are you with me? This man was on his journey, so he needed bread to refresh him. But the man had none. His friend had none. However, this friend knew who had bread. Sometimes people will come to you on their journey of faith or on their journey into faith with a problem. And you may not have the ability to solve that problem. But the important thing is that you know who does. Too often, we try to deal with such challenges ourselves. But the reality is that in doing so, we could potentially make things worse. This is why we need to come before God in prayer and intercession. To recognize our inability to fix the problem, we must immediately reveal our absolute dependence on God and our deep desire to rely on the only one who has all the sufficient power to deal with the situation. And through this dependence and reliance, God is glorified. Some of you are faced with impossible challenges right now. Some of you, maybe that's why you're here this morning. You don't know why you're here, but I can tell you perhaps that that's why you're here. And you have tried multiple things to address whatever it is you're going through. I'm saying this to you with absolute assurance and clarity and confidence. The only person, whether you are a Christian this morning or whether you're about to become a Christian, the only person right here, right now, who has the power and the ability to change whatever it is you're facing is Jesus. And that's why you have got to rely upon him. But if you don't know, if you're not honest with where you're at, if you don't know where you're at, or you can't identify the challenges around you for whatever reason, you can't bring them to him. If you don't bring them to him, well, that's a whole separate issue, which I can't go into right now. Prayerlessness is a sin because prayerlessness deprives God of blessing his children. And that's one of the biggest sins known to man. God lives to pour out his blessing upon you. God lives. The reason why he came, the reason why he sent his son to die for you is that heaven might come and make its residence in you. With heaven existing in you, God is now saying that everything that heaven is and everything that heaven has is yours. The appropriation of that, our ability to lay hold of that, only comes by way of prayer. That's the only way. When we don't give God his rightful place, when we don't seek his face, we deprive him of being able to do that. This man, even with all of the obstacles, because he was faced with a few obstacles that we want to look at, and then I'm going to finish. He was faced with three main obstacles, but he refused to allow the obstacles that he was faced with to prevent him from receiving that which he needed, to stop him from receiving bread. When we come to God in prayer, we will be faced with many obstacles. Obstacles that rise from within us: doubt, uncertainty, insecurity, hopelessness, unworthiness. Obstacles that come from the circumstances around us. We are too busy to pray, too tired to pray, too confused to pray. Or obstacles that come directly from the enemy through lies and accusations and even through demonic attacks. Why do you think you fall asleep when you pray? You're not tired. You think, well, well, I'm tired because I had a long week. And no, that's not the reason. That could be part of the reason. But the main reason why you're falling asleep when you're praying is because you're under demonic attack. You see, I don't understand. Believers in Christ, we have got to have eyes to see what is happening around us. God conceals things really for our own good. Because if he were to reveal everything to us, oh my goodness me, I think we might run out the door screaming. That's why you get confused. That's why you don't know what to say. That's why you're tongue-tied. But you, child of God, are a citizen of heaven. God has transformed your thinking. He has transformed your heart. He has transformed your ability to communicate with him and for him to communicate with you. The blood of Jesus is the very thing that keeps at bay every single demonic attack unless we give the enemy a legal right to do so. I won't touch on that now. That's a whole different ballgame. I want to finish with these three things. This man was faced with three obstacles. The first obstacle he was faced with was the obstacle of timing. Timing. It was at midnight. Most people won't normally go to someone's house at midnight to ask for anything, let alone to ask for bread. But for some strange reason, this is exactly what this man did. You see, we need to be ready to do what most people won't do. Because then we will get what most people won't get. There will always be times when prayer is inconvenient for us. But it is never inconvenient for God. Be it early in the morning, at midday, in the evening, or even late at night. When we need to come before God with our petition, may we do so by the grace that he alone supplies. This man could have said to himself, the hour is too late. It's inconvenient for both me and for my friend who has the bread. I'll just wait until tomorrow when it will be a more convenient time. See, that's very good and very rational thinking. But the fact is that the supernatural manifestations of God's presence and therefore his power for provision usually precede decisions and actions that could be considered to be irrational to man, but not irrational to God. The main thing is this: he could not wait until the next day. He had a problem and he needed a solution today. So he needed to act today. Knowing the urgency of the hour that we are in, truly in now, as the people of God, we need to understand that there are needs in our families, in our local church, in our community, in our nation, and even around the world that require God's attention. But before they can come to his attention, they need to be brought to our attention, and we need to act with urgency. This is why prayer has to be three things. Prayer needs to be informed. We don't punch blind. We don't box the air. We don't shadow box. God has given us the supernatural ability to know exactly when to pray, how to pray, and what results to expect. This is your gift from God, and don't let anyone rob you of it. We can't guarantee tomorrow. This is why the hour for prayer is always in the present. This is the reason why Isaiah said in Isaiah 55 verse 6, it says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." God is the God of tomorrow, but he is also, before he is the God of tomorrow, he is the God of today. Time, church, is a luxury that we cannot afford to waste. We need to learn how to redeem time. We need to steward time. And we need to maximize the time that God has given us. Why? Because time is running out. It is running out. The second obstacle that he experienced or he encountered was the obstacle of rejection. What did this wonderful friend say to him? Don't trouble me. What are you doing coming to my house at 12 midnight asking me for bread? Get out of here. Don't trouble me. Well, one would have thought that if the inconvenience of the hour did not put this man off from bothering his friend, then surely this would have achieved the desired result. But it did not. He simply refused to be denied. God cannot be troubled with your constant asking and requesting. But still some believe that he can. And this mindset is the main reason why we struggle to receive answers to prayer. This is a mindset that simply highlights the fact that we have the wrong perception of who God is. It has been said that God's answer to prayer can be yes, no, or wait. Now, there might be some truth to this, but one thing is very clear from Scripture, and it is this. When you pray in the name of Jesus, in the will of Jesus, and according to the word of Jesus, the answer will always be yes. I will repeat myself. When you pray in Jesus' name, when you pray Jesus' will, and you pray Jesus' word, the answer will always be yes, no matter what the circumstance is. One of the main reasons why we struggle to see these breakthroughs is this. We magnify our mountains more than the word of God. Amen. Our Goliaths and the circumstances that we make these things so big in comparison to the word, and we make the word of God so small in comparison to our mountain. And it must be, church, the other way around. This is the final authority. It doesn't matter what the doctor says, what the accountant says, what the builder says. This is the final authority. It doesn't matter how bad the news is, how good the news is, how fair the news is. This is the final authority. And if anything that you are facing or about to face does not line up with the final authority of God's word, then you have complete authority and jurisdiction to say to that devil, no, this is not happening. Because the word of God says something else. Thank you very much. This is why we need to walk with Jesus. Because when we walk with Jesus, we are no longer in the place of darkness. The third and final obstacle is this. The obstacle of the shut door. The first obstacle was the obstacle of inconvenience. The second one was rejection. This is the shut door. Have you ever sought after God only to feel like heaven was shut? Boy, oh boy, I've been there many times. Where it felt like your prayers just hit the ceiling and bounced back. I believe that there are a number of reasons why you might be facing such an obstacle. And I'm just going to race through these. And you have the notes, so you don't need to take them down. Just listen to what I'm saying. One reason for this obstacle of the shut door is this. You may not believe in the value or effectiveness of your prayer. Well, I want to tell you today that your prayers are very powerful and effective. James 5:16. Another one is this. You may think that God is angry with you because you have not met the mark in some area of your life. I want to tell you that God is not angry with you anymore. Amen. He loves you. You are his friend. And you have been granted access into the holiest of all. Hebrews 10:19. Another reason is this. You may not have come into God's presence with a full assurance of faith. Well, because of the blood of Jesus, you can do that. You can come into his presence with a full assurance of faith, for without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The final reason, there's a few more here, but the final reason that I'll pick on is you have not understood you may not have understood the position of your privilege as a child of God. Now, you are a child of God, and you live in the presence of the Lord. In the presence of the Lord, you are guaranteed four key things. The first thing is, these are the four things that happen in God's presence. In the presence of the Lord, your privilege is established. The privilege that you have as a child of God is established. Your purity is maintained. The power of God upon you is discovered, and your purpose is fully enlightened. So, in the presence of the Lord, you don't have to worry about not being accepted because you question your sonship. Know that you are a child of God, and there is absolutely nothing hindering you from Him. The final reason why there might be a shut door, again, as I've already said, you might be experiencing satanic opposition. The Word of God says in James 4:7 that we are to learn how to submit to God, to resist the devil, and he will flee. But you got to understand, satanic opposition is something that we should not take lightly. No child of God has been left to languish in the dark. You should never be in the place of ignorance. You should never be in the place of not knowing what to do next. You should never be in a place of not knowing why you're experiencing what you're experiencing, why you're going through what you're going through. You should never be in that place. You don't need to come to your pastor. You don't need to go to a prophet. You don't need to go to anyone, you don't need anyone with any special anointing or special gifting or special skill that have been given to them by God. And every one of these people that I've mentioned have their place in the body of Christ to help us understand, what it is, what exactly is going on in our world, what God is actually saying. We have a purpose. And praise God, we serve that purpose. But you are a child of God in your own right. And no child of God should ever find themselves in a place of not knowing what to do. And you have to hear me now. And you got to lay hold of this. And you need to believe this. Because I've said this time and time again. The time will come when the luxury of our gatherings will come to an end. You have got to learn to stand on your own two feet. You have got to learn to hear God for yourself. Is it right to have wise and godly counsel around you? Absolutely. Because there might be the occasion that what you're hearing is actually the pizza or the cheese from the day before. But by and large, the same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. Amen. The same Holy Spirit that gave Jesus revelation. He needed to have revelation when he walked on this earth. There were some things that even Messiah himself did not fully comprehend until the Spirit of the Lord showed them to him. Can you understand that today? And even though he has given us and blessed us with a gift of the fivefold ministry, this is where the enemy comes and rubs you. Because in that moment of feeling insignificant and insecure and not knowing that you have the absolute right to be in the presence of the Lord, the person who is next to you could be languishing in their own private war and in their own private hell, and you won't know anything about it. But the minute you say, God, I'm ready. I am positioning myself to be in your place of revelation. So that when I pray, oh Lord, I will hear the sweet voice of your Spirit. This is why you got to hear me now. The most powerful and effective form of prayer is silence. Learning to be quiet in the presence of the Lord. And as many of you know me, that is very, very, very hard to do. But it is a skill that has to be learnt, and it will be learnt if we are taught by the Holy Spirit. There are spiritual realms of the glory of God that many of his children have excluded themselves from because we are satisfied with our lot. And our lot is simply this. We are content to languish in the mundane, in the inferior, in the superficial. But you are a child of the King of Kings and of the Lord of Lords.
Amen.
Church, we can't keep on doing this. We can't. That's why he said, before you serve, learn to pray. Before you give, learn to pray. Before you evangelize, learn to pray. Before you go on mission, learn to pray. Before you say that, before you prophesy, learn to pray. Before you want to be that father, learn to pray. How dare you think you're going to be any good father if you don't pray? How do you think you're going to be a good wife if you don't pray? I've learned this the hard way. And oh man, I am still learning the hard way. For me to have the audacity, the pride, the gall to think that I can be the husband I want to be if I don't come into his presence on my face, crying out to God for his help, for his strength, for his courage, for his wisdom. How can I be who he's called me to be? I don't know about any other church or ministry where it says, right, everything is centralized at this platform. No, no, you know that ain't true here. This is just a point of reference. It fans out. God's people, you take hold of this. You take responsibility of this because I will not stand with you before that bema seat. Your husband will not stand with you before that bema seat. Your wife won't, they will not be. The person who hurt you, who rejected you, who said there is a shut door, they will not stand with you before that bema seat. There will be no excuses. It will just be us and him. We have ample time now. How many years have you got left in this earth? Only God knows. You might have 50 years. You might have 80 years. You might have 90 years. You might have 10 years. You might have 5 years. I'm telling you, if you just make one simple alteration in your life today, God will set you on the trajectory of eternity. And he will say, come on, now let's go do some business. Let's go do some damage to the kingdom of darkness. Let's go make some disciples. Let's go change the world together. Can't stay where you are anymore. It's not right for any child of God to be in that place of being superficial. He's given you the bread of his presence. And that's why it was 3 loaves. Because the 3 loaves represent the triune God. The presence of the Father, the presence of the Son, the presence of the Holy Spirit. His friend who is on his journey comes. He is famished. He is hungry. He is tired on his journey of life. And what does the friend do? He doesn't have the presence of the Lord. He doesn't have the bread. He cannot meet that need. The one who is on the journey needs the glory. That's the only thing that can satisfy his need. But the friend has nothing. But in actual fact, he has everything. All he needed to do to go from nothing to everything was to ask and to keep on asking, to knock and to keep on knocking, to seek and to keep on seeking. He had nothing. And he went from nothing to everything in that moment of coming to the God who possessed all things and said, God, I need you. Friend, I need you. He says, you're his friend. You're his friend. And if this so-called friend said, rejected his, he said, go away. It's midnight. Go away. It's a shut door. I don't want to know. If this so-called friend could do all of that, yet still give bread because of the persistence of this other friend, the intercessor, how much more will your heavenly Father, who is a true friend, a friend who is closer than a brother, how much more will he give you the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, his triune presence, the presence of the Father, the presence of the Son, and the presence of the Spirit? How much more will he give it to you? Let's bow our heads now. Holy Spirit, we honor your presence and we thank you for being in this place. In the time we have left, I'm just going to do something very quickly. I'm not making any altar calls because I need to release you all. I'll say this to you now. This morning, you've heard what I've had to say, and I want to say this to you. Further still, more so the Lord himself will speak to your heart and touch your heart. If you're here and you don't have a personal relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ, his Son, then I want to say this to you. You're not in a good place. You're not in a good place now. And if your eyes were to close in death, you will not be in a good place the moment your eyes open in eternity. You need to know every single person in this room is going to live forever. Those of us who have accepted the Lordship of Jesus Christ will live forever and for an eternity in his presence, in the place that the scriptures refers to as heaven. But those who reject his offer of salvation will also live for an eternity in the place that the scriptures refers to as hell. This morning, the only way that you can guarantee that your eternity will not involve hell whatsoever is to give your life to Jesus Christ, because he came and he died for you on the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood for you so that every single one of your sins, the very thing that has separated you from God, that has separated you from your destiny, that has separated you from your intended eternity, the sin that has been on your life, Jesus paid the price for that. And now all he needs you to do is to surrender your life to him. So if you want to do that this morning, or maybe you have done, you think you've done that in the past, but you're not sure. You are not sure about your eternal destination. You are not sure about whether or not you have eternal life. If you are not sure, then today you need to be sure. You need to get right with God. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer. This prayer does not save you. It doesn't. What this prayer does is it's your confession. It's your acknowledgement that you need a savior and that you need to be saved from your sin. So if you are ready and if you mean it, please pray this prayer with me. And it goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross for me. I have been on the journey of life, and on this day, I come to realize that I need the bread of life. So, Father, please forgive me of all of my sins. I repent because I have sinned against you. Jesus, I believe that you are my Lord and my Savior. And I confess that even though you died, you rose again on the third day. So today, I give you my life. I turn away from my life of sin, confusion, brokenness, disobedience, rebellion. I turn away from that life and I turn to you, accepting your free offer and your free gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. Please look up at me. If you prayed that prayer and you truly meant it, we want to ask you to do one simple thing, because I want to identify who you are so that we can give you some information, but we also want to celebrate what God has done in your life. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, could you just raise your hand, please, so we can identify who you are? God bless you. There's a hand there. There's a hand there. There's another hand there. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Anyone else? You're not sure. You're not sure. You want to come home. You want to come home. Anybody else? Praise the Lord. Come on, church, let's give God praise. Let's give Him glory. Let's give Him glory. Let's give Him glory. Please stand to your feet.